There are Christians that have a hard time with this truth, but God loves everyone the same. Let's look here at Romans chapter 5. Let's look at verse 8. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. If you've got another translation, that's great. Follow along. It says similar. It says, but God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. God showed. The New King James, many of you have, says God demonstrated his love for us. That while we are still sinners, Christ died for us. I mean, you have people that say, oh, yeah, sweetie, I love you. But do they ever really demonstrate that? God did. And I like the fact we have a cross in our sanctuary. There, you know, some people say, well, that's just a religious institution symbol. But listen, to me, it's very sacred and important. Because there are times I kind of doubt God loves me in this hour. Or else why would he cause me to go through this stuff? And then I see the cross, and that demonstrated his love. He loves me still, and I trust him. That's important for us to recognize that. He loves the same. He loves the same whether you are obedient to him or whether you are in a state of falling right now. He loves you the same. Please recognize that. Please understand that. We want you to be around here. God loves you. He's engaged in your life. So that love is not based on performance or behavior. You and I know that, but you know we wrestle with that. We wrestle with that. And so in that area, it's important. Unfailing, endless love of God. Oh, man. You almost want to just pause and say, Lord, thank you for loving me, not according to what I could do. Letter B, God forgives everyone the same. Boy, that's important for us to recognize too. He's dealing with everyone the same when it comes to forgiveness. I'm in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. It says, he is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his son and forgave our sins. It's right there. He forgave our sins because of the blood of Jesus, because of Jesus' death on the cross, unconditional forgiveness. I couldn't pay for your sins and you couldn't pay for mine. Somebody from outside this atmosphere had to come, and it was Almighty God who came. God's forgiveness is not withheld from the real bad sinners, and that God's forgiveness is always available regardless. There's nothing that cannot be forgiven. That's important. Nothing. Now, we have a little bit of problem with that. There's two basic reasons why we have a problem with that. Again, remember we talked about God loves everybody? And this one's a tough one, too, because most Christians, till they grow up, know the love of God and his determination to grow us up into him, we struggle with doubts because of our shame and our past experience. Their guilt is overwhelming to some Christians. We think God will love us only when we perform properly. So to talk about forgiveness, we have a hard time accepting God's forgiveness. Maybe that's you today. The other areas I recognize too, there are those who experience where people really have sinned. We've really been horribly treated by others. And people have a hard time with this aspect, that God deals the same in the realm of forgiveness, because when we have been basically recognized, we've been forgiven, but when God forgives and offers forgiveness to somebody that literally has trashed our lives, it's very difficult because we would love to see this person or that group punished. And we don't want to say that, but we want them punished, not forgiven. So this is one of those truths that forgiveness on the playing field, God forgives. Everything is forgivable. It's an amazing thing. But when it comes to the offering of forgiveness, every person on planet Earth has the opportunity to be completely forgiven. That's God's doing. I'm glad I'm not in control, aren't you? I know some things I'd like to axe it off, and we'll deal with that later, but God is in control. Letter C, God grants access to his throne to everyone the same. When we talk access, what does that mean? We're talking prayer. We're talking literally coming to the Lord with communication with him. Let's deal with Hebrews chapter 4. Let's look at verse 16. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. Let us come boldly. Let's come with confidence. It's interesting here. Everyone has access to God through Jesus. We've got to come through Jesus. There is, I believe, the only prayer God will hear from a non-Christian is, Lord, I need a Savior, forgive me. God's waiting for every non-Christian to call out to him. But for the believers, it's a level playing field. You have a pipeline to God. You have a hotline to God. You don't need to call Pastor Paul and say, I think you're a little closer, you can pray for me. You can do that. God deals with everyone the same when it comes to prayer. Instant and equal access to God. I love that element. Say, well, I don't feel like my prayers are being answered. We could deal with that another day, but Psalm 66:18, you can write that down. That says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, God won't hear me. So if you're kind of playing the saddle here, I'm going to continue this secret life, but I want God when I need him, you might find it's difficult, like it's dry spiritually. So I love that element of God's mercy for us. So when we take a look at that letter D, God freely gives eternity to everyone the same. Oh, man, the way to eternal life is narrow. It's through Jesus. And people say, well, that's what I don't like about Christianity. Man, you guys are like so restrictive. You keep every... No. It's narrow. This is the way, but it's open to everybody. Oh, man, the same. Eternal life is open to everyone. There is no reason why somebody's going to miss eternal life. I like the fact in 1 John chapter 5, let's swing on over there, verse 11 and 12, it says, and this is what God has testified. He has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life, and whoever does not have God's Son does not have life. It is very simple. A person is either they have Jesus and have eternal life, or they don't have Jesus and they don't have life. I used to think of something being brought up that, well, there's this area purgatory. God's not there and you're not really in hell. I actually like that. You kind of like play in the background, you know. But you are either in or you're out. And it's important. This is offered freely. God freely gives to everyone eternal life, and it's through Jesus. It's not a universal salvation. Like, since Jesus died for the world, he so loved the world, hey, we're all going on in. Now, the qualifier, some people really don't want God. They're not interested in the Lord. It's kind of like, you know, this person that's godless all their life, and they tragically end suddenly, and now they are before God. It's as if God's going to punish them, like, hey, you know, you never wanted me at all. Now I'm going to punish you. I'm going to keep you right by my side. That sounds a little weird, but there are some funerals that I've had to do where people think, I know they're in heaven. And I knew, outside of a miracle, there was no interest in the Lord. So it's important that we take a look. Are you experiencing the things freely given to us across the board from God? That's important. And for you who are with me right now, it's so simple to experience these free things on level playing field that God moves, that basically, do you believe God loves you? That's an important thing. Just want to write that down or consider today. Do you believe God loves you? Do you recognize he's ready to forgive you? That God wants to forgive you and allow a freedom of expression and a cleansing that's just phenomenal. That's how I knew Jesus was real. The day I said, Lord, forgive me, come into my life. It was like a weight of bricks off my chest. It's like, what just happened? Wow. So God loves you. He's ready to forgive you. Do you believe that? And run into his presence with prayer. You can pray. Prayer is just talking. God, you and I aren't an item here. We have no interest in each other. Now I see you are interested in me. I want to live for you. I want you in my life. And then pray to receive him into your life. to secure that eternal life. That's exciting. I hope you'll consider, if that's not happening, that's the level playing field. So now our next point is where the confusion abounds, because when people say, well, God treats everyone the same, he does relationally, like a good parent. Yeah, I know you're different than my next child I grew, but I love you all. You know your parents said that. You just knew something was not quite right. But mom loves you. Daddy loves you. But when it comes to responsibility, he does not deal with us the same. And that's important. Thank you for listening. Let's look at number two. God treats everyone different with responsibility. Now, I want you to gather in what we're about to take a look at, because it'll be very helpful for people. Letter A on your notes, we have been uniquely gifted. Right there, we're going to be different. Different responsibilities assigned to every person on this planet by reason of experience, by reason of assets, by reason of exposure, who knows? But let's look here at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4. It says, there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. And there are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it is the same God who does the work in all of us. Different spiritual gifts. We could say different shapes, different designs. We are not a carbon copy of each other. That's very encouraging for you who just need to realize there's no need for comparison or jealousy. I can't be like another person. You can't be like another person. We each have our own assigned responsibility. God gives these things. So God may love us the same, but he did not design us the same. That's what we're dealing with. That's important for you to recognize. This should be I see. God designed us differently, and to learn that design is so important. What has God given you? Where's your life like and at right now? So you can cooperate with him. I remember many times when Ainsley and I were pastoring in Riverside County, a place called Banning Foursquare Church. It's different than Orange County. There was a challenge for us. There was many times I was out there saying, Lord, am I forgotten? Why am I out here 15 years? You could almost think life is over. God was gracious, but on two occasions, heaven opened up and he helped me with Romans chapter 9, verse 20 and 21. May that help you. Where a verse comes, and God literally says, can the clay tell the potter, I don't like what you're doing in my life? Do I not have the right to tell you what you're going to become? So once he popped me right between the peepers, you kind of slow down a little bit. And you realize, okay, God, when I say to you, I do not like who I am, I think it's unfair where you have me right now. It really has helped my journey in relationship with him. There's other references, Isaiah 64:8. There are references where God comes on the scene. Hey, can the clay on the spinning wheel tell the potter, get me off of this thing and use you as a vessel of honor or dishonor? Wow. So when we take a look at God dealing with things in our lives, he uniquely gifts us. He uniquely provides an element where we know we have something from the Lord, who we are, what we're all about. That's important, and I hope you'll enjoy that. I've had those occasions, and I remember realizing, why am I going through this stretching area, God? And I remember God brought me to John chapter 20, verse 21, where Peter was just told how he's going to die. Somebody's going to stretch your arm out. This is where you're going. And Pete decides, like I was doing, what about this pastor down the way? He looks like he's getting off scot-free. And though Jesus told Peter about John, if I will that he survives till I come, what is that to you? You follow me. So another zinger right between the peeper. Boop. Lord, I'll be faithful. I'll be faithful. And I will do what you've asked me to do. I will become what you asked me to become. I'm so glad. It really helps when you realize God uniquely gifts us. Letter B, we have unique purposes. Unique purposes are so significant. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. I like this, where it says so clearly, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Wow, that's an important thing. Unique gifts to do unique purpose. You've got a unique purpose. It's a unique purpose. For example, the chairs that you're sitting on, aren't they cozy? Aren't they comfy? I don't know what you're on. Maybe it's your bed. Maybe it's your couch. Who knows? But your chairs serve a purpose. That purpose is, it's all about you today. But if you took that chair and make it a step stool or a ladder, it could work, but that's not its purpose. Same with you. Same with you. You've got a gift, but you've got a purpose. And it's important for you to understand and enjoy. God treats us all differently and uniquely when it comes to our purpose. So I hope you've enjoyed my journey in Banning. Thank you for inviting me here to Orange County. Praise God. I'm still in a process, but I like to think about the purposes from God as assignments. As assignments. Have you literally, do you understand your assignment? It could be just today. Get your clothes on and go to Hope Chapel. That's an assignment. You think, well, just my everyday routine. I'll tell you, you'll understand. Now you say, well, Holy Spirit brought me here. Glory to God. Got me online, hallelujah, because it was an assignment, and you were obedient to follow through with that. It's significant for us. Your assignment, I'm confident, should be bigger than you are. That really is. We could all just say, well, I like going to this place where Christians are because they all agree with me, and I don't have to do anything because they're doing it, but God's got an assignment for you. And we've got one and a number of them here at Hope Chapel. But it's important for us to see so clearly. It should be bigger than you. Why? Why? I hope it creates fear, anxiety, a little bit of dread. Lord, my assignment is bigger than I can take. But it should bring in some excitement. Why? Because it would allow you to lean on God. If you were absolutely sure what you should be doing, and everybody loves a comfort zone, I like consistency, I like routines, I get very cozy and comfy in that. But if you were absolutely assigned to something that's bigger than you, and it overwhelms you thinking about that, but you know God is speaking to you, then it's going to require some faith. It will require faith. And faith is the only thing that pleases God. If you haven't faithed anything out lately, then maybe you haven't had a really enjoyable journey with Jesus lately. You got an assignment. Letter C, we have unique accountability. Unique accountability. So we have gifts or abilities and purpose that leads to accountability. God does not deal with us on the same playing field when it comes to responsibility that leads to accountability. And many Christians have never gathered that thought. He does reward faithfulness. It's all about faithful to him. Let's take a look at Luke chapter 12, verse 48. In Luke 12, 48, Jesus said, when someone has been given much, much will be required in return. And when someone has been entrusted with much, even more will be required. We're talking requirement. We're talking accountability. This is so important to understand. Our accountability before God is unique as well. No one else. You can blame it on a relative. You can blame it on the weather. But you and I will have a unique accountability before God. That's where God does not deal with us the same. That accountability, he has entrusted everyone with something that's a little more exceptional. Could be financial blessings. It could be an area where we influence others. Some of you have great speaking skills. I know a lot of people that have talked their way out of jail. They're very persuasive. Nobody in there is guilty. There are some that are dealing with areas where they just know they've got certain talents and gifts and cool insights. Those are gifts, those given by God with a purpose in mind. And if that purpose is met, there's a great accountability that will come. That's important for us. Now, I like the fact, and Jesus describes that often, it's in Matthew chapter 25, where the parable of the talents in verse 14 and 15, and it starts, how that the owner distributes talents to individuals according to their ability. And that's important for us. You all have different abilities. Aren't we grateful? So God's never going to overwhelm you, but that talent could be your children or your family. As a lead pastor, something I wrestled with, like, Lord, why am I the one that's getting this beat up? I recognize if anything happens to this church, I will be responsible. You can. That's why I enjoy everything that inviting everybody to the leadership table and agenda. But when it comes right down to that, accountability for me is you. People say, well, boy, you're very personal in your approach. Well, listen, you're important to me. And you're important to God. So he has sent me, as Ephesians 4:11 says, as a gift to you and to your family. How you handle that, that is where you'll be accountable. But it's okay. But that's what a pastor does. So it's very important that we ask the Lord, what is being required of me today? What is my assignment? Let's deal with letter D. We will have unique rewards in eternity. This is an important aspect. This is called the element of eternal judgments in Hebrews chapter 6, 1 through 3. That's what the early church taught on. The Bible talks about rewards. Rewards will not be distributed the same. Entrance into heavens, naturally through Jesus, but will we be treated equally the same when we're there in heaven? No. Let's take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Let's go to verse 11. 1 Corinthians 3:11. Let's look here, because the Apostle Paul's describing what Christians need to be aware of. This is to Christians. It says, for no one can lay any foundation other than that, the one we already have, Jesus Christ. And anyone who builds on that foundation may use a variety of materials, gold, silver, jewels, wood, hay, or straw. But on the judgment day, see that word, fire will reveal what kind of work each builder has done. The fire will show if a person's work has any value. If the work survives, the builder will receive a what? Reward. But if the work is burned up, the builder will suffer great loss, but the builder will be saved. But like everyone, barely escaping through the wall of flames. So we take a look here for a moment. Apostle Paul saying, listen, the foundation, don't mess with the foundation. That's Jesus. That's good. We don't have to go look for another Savior. He's it. He's it. But it's how we live our lives beyond that when we get Jesus in our lives. How we build our lives moving forward from the day we were born again. And Scripture says he uses building materials, gold, silver, precious stones, or wood, hay, straw. You put fire on the day when it's being tested, and I'll tell you, you put fire to gold, silver, precious stones, you just do it a favor. It gets better and more pure. You put fire to wood, hay, and straw, you've got yourself a forest fire like we have in California. It's gone. So what matter or kind of work a person will use with that purpose or that gift in the day of accountability to acquire rewards is very important. That day will happen. That word called Judgment Day, it's also called the judgment seat of Christ in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9 and 10. You can take a look at that. You may want to write that down. Talking to Christians, the Apostle Paul says, man, I make it my aim. We make it our aim to be well-pleasing to him. Because we know one day we will all be evaluated, whether good or bad, what we've done in this body. It's very clear. That term in the Greek is basically a bema or bema seat, like the Greek Isthmian Games. They evaluated, did you run your race in the lane that you were assigned to, or did you cut corners? Because that might cause you to lose first place laurel wreath. So Christians understood that. And that's important that we need to deal with. Our rewards will not all be the same. Why would a Christian be evaluated? Well, that's the, again, it's called that beautiful judgment seat of Christ. He owns us. We serve him. There's another judgment that most Christians are most familiar with. It's called the Great White Throne Judgment. You may want to write down chapter 20 of Revelation, but let's just look at verse 15. I've got that on the screen for you. Revelation 20, verse 15 is the last verse, and it says, and anyone whose name was not found recorded in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire. So this reference in chapter 20 is referencing our eternal destiny. What you and I are talking about as Christians deals with our rewards. You say, well, what will those rewards be? What will those rewards look like? I'm really not sure. But I would just say has reference to elements of just responsibility of ruling and reigning with Christ. Has probably some form of display on those white robes by Jesus' righteousness. It's a beautiful thing. You say, well, you know what, Pastor Paul, that's why I hear people say, Pastor, how can I be happy in heaven when I see everybody else having more than me? And the answer is this, there'll be no sin in heaven. And jealousy is a sin. You won't be jealous of somebody. It won't be there. Because, like any good ball team, when you know your partner on the team scores the winning point, you're pretty happy. Your team wins. And I think we're going to be pretty happy. We're going to be really happy to see you all there in heaven. It's going to be pretty excited when you arrived. I think we're going to be pretty shocked and think, no way, they made it too? That is the mercy of God. Man, I could understand me. God got a deal with me. But him? Ooh. So God's got some great things for us. And I just want to encourage you. Let's make sure we get and gather all of it. Relationally, God loves us the same. It's all the same. Responsibility, it is not the same. Don't blend those. Be careful. Help people that say God's unfair. Look at all this suffering. God's very caring, and he loves us so. Isn't he wonderful? And I hope this message today brought you closer to Jesus. I hope this message says, I'm going to give Christ another try. I'm going to really go for him. Because I know I've been given some assets, some things that I just thought were for me. But God has an assignment for us. I would love to play an instrument. Love to play an instrument. How about play like Sean Minutella? Can you imagine? I'd love that. I'd love to play like David and sing like these ladies. Play David on the bass or Luke on the drums. I can't. It's not my assignment. Should I get upset with God because he doesn't let me play? But I am assigned something unique, and so are you. So are you. We want to encourage you to step into those roles here at Hope Chapel. We really do. You'll be so thankful you did when you stand before Jesus and say, Lord, here's my talent that you gave me. I'm so glad to present something in return. Glory to God.
I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel Huntington Beach. It's our desire to bring the teachings of this church to others globally. If today's message has brought you closer to Jesus, we want to know. Can you send us an email to office@hopechapelhb.org? Would you consider supporting this ministry financially? You can give securely online at hopechapelhb.org/give. If a check is your preferred method, you can send a mailed check to Hope Chapel, P.O. Box 548, Huntington Beach, California, 92648. If you want to be contacted by Hope Chapel, would you consider subscribing to our weekly newsletters at hopechapelhb.org/subscribe. Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. We want to thank you once again for joining us, and God bless you.